This is Nancy Casey with an update about the situation in Haiti, where grassroots activists in the country have been responding to the disaster there since the moment it began. The island of Lagonave is located in the bay not far from Port-au-Prince. It's mountainous, about 20 miles long, and before the quake, home to some 225,000 people. Like many areas in the Haitian countryside, little information is available right now about what is happening there. There are far fewer structures in the countryside, and peasants are outside in the daytime, so there were far fewer instant casualties than in the city. Homes are damaged, some people are homeless, and everyone is traumatized. Many people have lost whole branches of their extended families. On Lagonave, as in most rural areas, international aid programs seldom arrive. A school in the mountain town of Matenois survived the quake with its internet access intact and has been posting updates about the situation there since the first tremors. Owen Thomas, a Haitian-American from Cambridge, Massachusetts, visiting the Matenois Community Center on the island of Lagonave, posted this report. People are starting to come back with news of who's dead and who's alive. It's pretty horrific. Every time someone arrives, there are some people who are relieved and others who are horrified. People are standing outside of the gate of the school and everyone waiting for news from Port-au-Prince. I walked to Nan Cafe today with Tiyuyut, and while walking, we heard a lot of cries and screams. One family lost 5 kids when the roof of their house collapsed in Port-au-Prince. It's really tough, though, whenever a call comes in or someone comes. Many people are relieved while others are crushed. Robert was going to go to Port-au-Prince today with one of Libna's uncles from Plaine-Mapu to search for her, but they got the news by the time they reached Ansagale that she was fine, so they didn't go. Again, it's tough. A lot of people dead, as you know, and everyone here has family in Port-au-Prince. In El Angerville, Millien's husband arrived from Port-au-Prince. He reported walking over dead bodies and walking most of the way to the wharf at Carrières, an hour and a half ride by a car. Tomorrow, a lot more people will be coming, Makanaki and most of the people from Josiane's house. Today, I was walking by a young man up here, Jefte, and I asked what was up, and he said his sister is dead, gave a little smile, and kept walking. There's not much to do but keep walking. The biggest issue for Matenois and Lagonave will be one of finding food and other resources. People here are already hungry. It's very difficult to find cooking oil and other necessities, as the merchants who travel back and forth from the mainland have stopped. All places removed from the city are sure to experience these difficulties, but Lagonave, a 2-hour-long boat ride away, will be especially bad. The already poor infrastructure leading to the island was shattered, and people are afraid to leave. The reality has not set in yet. Looking across to the mainland, one would never even know what had happened. As I write, there are still slight tremors. In the library, the school, as soon as they happen, everyone picks up and runs toward the door. On Lagonave, we will wait and see. It's still early, but already the lack of food and supplies can be felt. The price of rice has already gone up 20% in the area. It will be very difficult here. The shortage of food is sure to affect everyone here, and with no connection to the mainland, it's unclear when or how it will be resolved. We are holding a couple of community meetings, one describing what happened, and two talking about signs of a dangerous house, what is and what isn't unsafe. We hope to improve the Matenois community's understanding of the earthquake, but the information also needs to reach other places, the ones that are really in the dark, really removed. After that, we'll talk about these things in school. We all agreed that even if there is no exam this year, and though there's no feeling that school should be open, we need it to be open. Otherwise, it seems like life has stopped. Those are the words of Owen Thomas, coming from the Matenois Community Learning Center on the island of Lagonave in Haiti. You can read more of these updates at www.matenoisclc.org, MATENWA. In the immediate aftermath of the quake, when the clear media picture was untold suffering and mounting tensions as Haitians waited for help from the outside, many survivors already working a long time in the country to address the problems that Haiti has mobilized their networks and addressed the situation. While the large international response that is arriving in the country now was still gearing up, grassroots activists in Haiti were already taking action. This report was posted by Amber Munger on the Compai website 2 days after the quake. She writes, "I am coordinating with many partner organizations on an integrated response that will help us get through the next week as well as prepare us to deal with the coming months of insecurity. We have coordinated the shipment of diesel from the open port in Cape Haitian, the use of a shipping company to haul fuel from the Dominican Republic to Port-au-Prince, the use of a large protected storage compound to store the fuel. Haitian volunteers are working with the Johns Hopkins teams to conduct surveys to provide us important data on the numbers and locations of people who are in need of medical care, so that when help and supplies arrive, we are able to efficiently get people to where they need to go. We have worked with grassroots leaders to gather information on family names and locations in Port-au-Prince so that each village can send one or two people to search for loved ones in Port-au-Prince rather than everyone from the villages going into the disaster zone. That was an excerpt from a posting by Amber Munger of Compai. Melinda Miles, Compai director, published a progress report on the coordinated rapid response to the Haiti earthquake on January 18th that details that organization's progress on logistics to get supplies and critical medical teams into Haiti through three points of entry: direct to Jacmel via boat from the Dominican Republic, direct to Port-au-Prince over land from the Dominican Republic, and to points north of Port-au-Prince in the capital via Cape Haitian and Santiago in the Dominican Republic. The report details their headquarters and operations in Santo Domingo and also includes this news. During coordination meetings at the United Nations headquarters yesterday, Amber Munger from Compai learned that groups like ours and the ones we are working with to coordinate rapid response will not be able to get absolutely critical supplies from the UN or the warehouses of the major agencies in Port-au-Prince, including World Vision, Catholic Relief Services, and others. They encouraged us to pursue our own overland shipments of supplies. Port-au-Prince is still not ready to receive volunteer teams, writes Melinda Miles of Compai. There are doctors on the ground, but no supplies for them to work with, and there are already massive shortages of food and water. Our strategy for Port-au-Prince is to bring in supplies to support the work of people already there and encourage the evacuation of the city while preparing clinics in the countryside to handle the exodus. That was written by Melinda Miles. She is the director of the organization Compai, and you can find the full text of her report and more information at compay.org. This has been an update on the situation in Haiti. You can learn more about the work of groups and individuals mentioned in this update and how to support them by going to www.couragewoman.org. This report was produced by KRFP, Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and Yin Radio at yinradio.org. I'm Nancy Casey.